Morning. I'd like to welcome you back to a new edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. Hope that you had a really good weekend, and we're looking forward to digging into this passage of Scripture this morning. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we're looking at verses 1 through 22. We're not going to read the entire section today. Actually, we won't read the entire section each day, but we will be referring to this entire section. And if you're wondering when we dealt with this passage of Scripture, it was on a Sunday night several weeks ago. And I thought that the content of this passage was extremely practical, and so I'd like us to dig into this text together this week, and then, Lord willing, the following week we'll pick up where we left off in our Luke series, and that's what we covered this past Sunday morning. So if you have a Bible, let's all turn together. We'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Here's what the Scriptures say. "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel." That's a nice name, right? "And the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after filthy lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they had done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." The passage of Scripture in front of us is a fascinating passage, and it is really central to the story that we're talking about as we look at the lives of Samuel, Saul, and David. And so I want to summarize this passage, and then throughout the week we're going to break it down. Here is the statement that I wrote down as I thought about the passage. 1 Samuel demonstrates that it is foolish to be impatient with God, but our failure does not destroy his ultimate purposes. Now there's actually a little more than just impatience in this passage of Scripture. Impatience is a big factor, but it's also self-centeredness, and it's also a willful rejection of God's wisdom and purposes. And there's a persistence that is being laid out in these verses. And so that's what it's showing us. It is foolish to be impatient, to be self-centered, to demand things that are not ultimately for our good. And then when those things happen, it doesn't stop God from accomplishing what he chooses to accomplish in our lives. So that's really the focus here. And as we look at the passage, the takeaway is that God wants us to be patient. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to rest in him. He doesn't want us to demand what we want, but he wants us to rest in what he gives us. But when we do stumble, and all of us do, we shouldn't despair. He still loves us. His grace is rich. He's still at work in his providence in our lives. And so those are the things that we're going to look at this week. So let's kind of break it down a little bit this morning. First of all, in part one, we see the restlessness of God's people. And we just read these verses, but I want us to look at it a little bit at a time so that we can kind of understand this. First of all, we see Samuel is getting old, and sadly his sons are corrupt. In verses 1 to 3 it says, "It came to pass, when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. He names them. They were judges in Beersheba." And then he makes this statement, "His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment." Now, Samuel was known as a very faithful man, and he was faithful from the time that he was a child. He was known to give the word of God consistently and faithfully, and he was a just judge. Sadly, his boys were not like that. They were corrupt. Now, if they were not as corrupt as Eli's sons, the things that they were involved in were of a lesser degree of corruption, but they were still corrupt. And it's tragic when we think about it. The second thing that we see is that the people are frustrated. And so they express that frustration to Samuel. And they're frustrated not just with him, but what is potentially coming down in the future. And so in verses 4 to 5, they say, "Behold, thou art old. Thy sons not walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like the other nations." Now, their frustration is primarily presented as a frustration with Samuel and a frustration with his boys. And by the way, that was a legitimate frustration. But there was also another side to this, and we will talk about this later on this week. Samuel is old, but he's going to live for at least another 20 years after this incident. And so even though it is true that Samuel was not going to continue to do this indefinitely, he still had a lot of, we could say, decades behind him, ahead of him when they came to him. And it's also true that his boys were corrupt. But what is also true is that the ultimate reason that they were doing this is because they wanted to be like the other nations. The next thing we see is that this frustration that Samuel is experiencing, he takes to God, which is the right thing to do. And in verse 6 it says, "The thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed to the Lord." And then we see what God tells Samuel. This is interesting. In verses 7 to 9, he says, "Give them what they want." But he explains why they are pursuing this, and he also explains that he needs to warn them when they do this. So he says, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee." And here's the key. "They've not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Now, the thing that we have to keep in mind is that the ultimate judge in Israel is not supposed to be a man. It's supposed to be God. And God's plan for the people was that they would be a theocratic nation. That means that the ultimate ruler would be God. He would mediate his rule through individuals. Samuel was a judge for a period. Ultimately, David would be a king for a period of time. Solomon would be a king for a period of time. And God had that as a part of his plan, that he would mediate his rule through his law, through his servants, that kings would function in a prophet and kingly manner. And so it wasn't that God would always not have a physical king over the people, but his timing was important. The people were saying, "We really don't want God to rule us. We want a man." And then he draws it out a little more. He says, "This is the way that it has been since he brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me. They have served other gods, and so do they also unto thee. Therefore, hearken unto their voice, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." Another way to put this is that God looks at the people and he says, "I'm going to give them what they want, even though it is not what is best." But God is ultimately not going to end his dealings with these people. He's going to be persistent. He's going to continue. Now, I want us to take away just a couple of simple thoughts, and we will develop this considerably more as we go throughout the week. The first takeaway is this. We've got to be careful for what we ask. Now, the fact that we pray for something and God does not answer it immediately does not mean necessarily that we are being presumptuous or that we are demanding something that does not rightfully, it's not something good for us. It's not something that God would do. Sometimes God allows us to go through long seasons where we have to depend on him. We have to humble ourselves. And ultimately, he takes time before he answers. But when we are praying, one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, am I asking for something that is ultimately a lust that is going to be me demanding what I want? Or is this period of time where I'm asking God, is this something that I just have to learn to depend on him for? It is a good thing. It's something he would ultimately want to give me. Part of that patience that we need to have is going to cause us to determine whether or not what we're asking for is a good thing or a bad thing. These people were ultimately demanding something that was not good. Secondly, we need to be wary of the tendency that we all have to push for things that are not in our best interest from a godly perspective. We can look at life through two lenses. We can look at it through the eyes of the world, or we can look at it through the eyes of the scriptures. A biblical worldview is supposed to shape what we want from God, the kinds of things that we desire, the kinds of things that we ask Him for. And so when we are asking God for something, we need to ask the question, am I pushing for something that is ultimately not for good? And so I leave you with a simple encouragement. Let's ask God to help us face our daily struggles with a healthy set of desires. Let's ask Him to shape our worldview in such a way that the things that we ask for are not things that are consuming it upon our lusts, but rather we are desiring things that are ultimately for our good and for the advancement of God's kingdom. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll continue this series, and so I hope that you'll join us. Share this if it's been an encouragement to you and you think it can be an encouragement to someone else, and provide feedback if you think that that would be helpful. Have a blessed rest of your day. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow. Bye now.